Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is a very special episode for me because it is a fun, collaborative conversation with my friend, Jules Budricki. You will hear Jules's journey from physical therapist to product manager and how she became hostess of the wildly famous Beyond These Clinic Walls podcast. I hope you enjoy listening as much as we enjoy recording and that you get something meaningful out of our conversation that will help you in your journey. Defining Point Coaching and Consulting presents Kairos Conversations, Connecting with Quality, the podcast. Kairos is Greek for the right time, the right season, and the right opportunity. This podcast features healthcare quality professionals who share their journeys, their advice, their struggles, how they made that transition into a new and exciting role. My heart's desire is that you find this podcast to be inspirational to you as you make your own journey. Don't forget to share this podcast with your colleagues and friends and rate us on whichever podcast platform you listen to. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Today, I am joined by my next guest, Julia Budricki. Thank you so much for being here, Jules.
Thank you for having me, Brandy. I'm excited for this little collaboration.
Me too. Let's start by introducing yourself to the audience.
Yeah. My name is Jules. I am a physical therapist by training. I have just under 5 years of patient-facing experience. And I think around year three, started getting a little itchy, and I wanted to discover where else I could take my interests. And I felt that I was being pulled to some more of the systemic issues that I was experiencing in the clinic. Some of those were like larger healthcare issues. And I wanted to see where I could take my skills. So one of the big factors playing into that too was like impact. And that's something that I feel like I've talked to so many people about it, about wanting to have an impact. And you definitely do in the clinic. But for me, I didn't want to like dive in any granular to kind of like a one-on-one clinical experience. I wanted to see if I could tackle those larger healthcare systemic, you know, big hairy goals of healthcare and impact more people. And so I never want to say leaving the clinic. Like I'd left patient-facing care, but I'm still recognized as a physical therapist and a clinician, which we could touch on all that fun stuff too. But I think I evolved out of the clinic. So I'm still a PT, but I am currently a product manager at an EHR company.
Awesome. And I know people ask this a lot, so I'm going to ask you, do you maintain your licensure as a physical therapist?
And I'm currently behind on CEUs. So I was at CSM trying to catch up on those. So I have to sit for my, I hope there wasn't actually, because I did a pre-session CSM class and then I attended sessions there.
You can get all of your things there, right?
I think there's a limit. I think you can only get up to like 18 hours total. I forget, but I was just there for 2 days too. And I need to figure out, I hope it doesn't expire when I can like, because you have to take a little quiz to get the CEUs for it. And I haven't done that yet. I am behind. So.
Well, CSM just happened. I mean, when people listen to this, it would have been older, but CSM just happened. So hopefully you still have time.
Yeah. Hopefully by the time this episode comes out, I'm all caught up on CEUs. Are you really a PT if you're like, if you're not behind on CEUs?
Right. So I want you to share your journey from how you went from PT to product. Mm-hmm. What was that transition like? I know you said you wanted to still make an impact in a different way, but how did you, what were the steps you took to do that?
This is probably one of the biggest questions that I get asked and that people reach out and they say, oh, you have a background in PT and now you're doing this. How did you do that? And I wish I had a beautiful map and articulation and like beautiful strategy to it. I think it was just kind of like a lot of trial by fire. And I had kind of boiled it down to two different directions I was curious about taking. And I thought I was going to go the consulting route. And my older brother is a consultant. He was kind of persuading me to it. He was like, you have all the characteristics. I'd be a great consultant. I think that maybe was like my first mistake, because I didn't like take the time to pause and think what I really enjoyed, and like and realize that like what I was good at and what I wanted to do was very different. And so I was kind of waiting for other people to tell me the answer of what to do. And I think that was the first step. And I found myself going into these consulting interviews and case studies and really like diving down on them and then not really enjoying it. Simultaneously at that time, my first role outside of the clinic, I was kind of like a recruiter, but had like a little project management and consulting all mixed into one role. And what I was responsible for was looking at our clients were venture capitalists who are looking to get up to speed on a certain market industry topic, usually a very like niche field in life sciences. So that experience was great for me, not just because I got the corporate experience, but because I got to dive into all these different roles and corners and life beyond rehab sciences. And so it just like really opened my eyes to all of healthcare. And I think that's where I first heard of a product role. And I felt like it had the components of consulting that I really liked. And this is also when I started to look a little bit more introspectively as to what I wanted out of a role and like what would make me happy. And if I cherry picked that, which was also like the parts of PT that I really enjoyed, I was left with a product role. And so like a few of those things was stakeholder management. So I like being a midfielder in like a team. I've always been like a team player, sports growing up a lot. And never like, I didn't want to have like authority of a coach necessarily, but I liked being the person in the middle that like helps move the ball up and down the field and kind of have the assist to support the rest of the team and moving towards like a collective goal, which I feel like as a physical therapist, your stakeholders, your patient, their caregivers, their medical team, you're doing that same thing. So I really liked that part of it. I liked having empathy, right? We get into healthcare because we want to be able to understand our patient and their needs and be able to help them through that. Same for product. I'm building a product and I have to really know my end user. I have to put myself in their shoes and represent their voice as I'm building this product. So I was really excited for that. And then I think just to reiterate the teamwork, like I like being part of a team. I liked being social, but I'm an extroverted introvert, I think it was. And I was like, oh yeah, that's totally me. Like I love talking and I love talking and getting excited, but then it like burns me out. So I needed to find like a job where I could still be like on a team, but I could kind of like burrow away when I needed to. And I felt like product had that good balance with it too. So yeah, so that's kind of how I discovered product. And that was like the role I wanted to go into. And I felt like that was all stuff I was good at, but also like.
I'm so curious. And I really don't know this answer. So this is not for any other reason, but I really am curious. What is product? Like, what does that actually mean? What do you do?
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure that out. No. Yeah. Product is like one of those, which is also like the joke with consulting too. It's like, what is a consultant? What is that? So product managers, I like to describe it like I kind of did before, like as a midfielder. So we are supposed to represent the voice of a customer so that the product that we're building is like the right product. Our boss is like the product. Like we report to the product, we own that product. So we're taking in a lot of information, both from like the business side and the discovery side and looking at like what the market looks like, what our competitors are doing, what our customers want, what our capabilities are internally, what our engineering limitations or abilities look like, what our company's bottom line and mission is. And we're taking in all this feedback and probably other things that I'm not mentioning right now. And we're trying to streamline that into how we're developing this product. So we're really the midfielder. We're not the ones developing it. That's our developers. That's our engineers. We're not the ones selling it. That's our sales team. I mean, arguably, sometimes I think PMs have put on the hats of everyone of this. And I don't have a technical background, but I've worked with PMs that are much more technical and have put on their coding hat and will start code with an engineering right then and there. But yeah, and then we're like, sometimes we're marketing it. Sometimes that's more like the marketing team, product marketing team, that's like showing how to show off our product to our sales and kind of bridging that gap. Probably more there too that I just don't know about to explain the product marketing side. But yeah, so we're like the orchestrators of that whole thing. We keep the ball moving. We don't have the glitz and glam of like an offensive sales team or the defensive stats, but we do. We're the midfielders. We keep that ball moving. We're influencing the play on the field, and we're setting up those other teams to make a score or have a save.
Yeah, that's totally helpful because I thought product was the developing actual tech. I'm fixing this thing, but you're the one that's managing the whole program. So would you say that like a program manager and a product manager are like interchangeable?
It depends. So then there's like this whole, so like product manager, program manager, project manager. It really depends on the, and then product owner, that's another thing. That's more like a methodology term, but there's all overlap with these, but they're all different. And then what I've also learned is they're very different based on the company you're working for. Because in some instances, you are a program manager. And how I view program manager, and someone listening to this can totally correct me if I'm wrong, but program managers I've worked with are looking at a larger scope than maybe just focused on like a singular product or functionality. They're looking at maybe like a larger company, like vertical or like section, rather than like... And it depends on how you're like breaking it down in the company too. Like I work for an EHR company, right? EHR companies are huge. So It could be something that is on like the billing side versus the encounter side versus the documentation, the platform side, which is just like the main tech side of it. So that I think a program manager would be taking kind of those larger looks into stuff. Whereas the product manager, you're broken down into like more granularity of like, oh, I cover this specific part of billing or the insurance functionality.
But you don't work directly with the consumer of the product.
I do. Yeah. Oh. So, yeah. So like the user, the person actually using it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's where we get all of our info pretty much of like what they want and what they're thinking about. We interview users all the time. In my current role, I get to work with a UX UI team. Some people don't have that. Sometimes it's just the product managers leading the research. We have like a rockstar UX UI team that leads a lot of the research. And that's like conducting user feedback and interviews and seeing how they use the product, why they use the product. And that's what we take to influence some of our decisions.
Are you curious to learn more about what other non-traditional rehab roles are out there? Make sure to check out Beyond These Clinic Walls, the podcast for non-traditional rehab professionals. Each episode features guests who have leveraged their clinical skills into non-traditional careers. Join Jules, Emma, and Emily to hear the journeys, follow the career paths, and learn about opportunities beyond these clinic walls. You can find them at their website, as well as LinkedIn and Instagram at Beyond These Clinic Walls. Have a listen now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and anywhere else you may find a podcast. Happy listening. Now enjoy the rest of this episode.
So how do therapists get into roles like these? What skills do they say are transferable, and how do they start working towards that if they're currently at the bedside?
Yeah, I would start by looking like really doing a deep dive into product. And part of product management is just problem solving. Like you hit a roadblock. How are you going to get around that? You're resourceful. Figure it out. You're going to get there. So sometimes I like challenge people on this and I'm like, if you feel like you hit a roadblock with this, you know, maybe like just finding out what product is, maybe product's not right for you. Like dive into it, figure it out, figure out what product is and start connecting those parallels of what you do on a day-to-day basis and linking them to a product role. So I gave those three examples before of like empathy, stakeholder management, like teamwork and team people management skills. There's so many more parallels you can draw from there. It is a hard realm to get into. And I got in, I think I was very persistent and I did my homework, but it was also a stroke of luck. My first role that I got like my foot in the door with was as a associate clinical product manager role. And I think a big factor of this was that I didn't have to connect all the dots for the person interviewing me because they came from a clinical background. They were from nursing. So I think they were able to already have some of those dots connected. And it just so happened that the product I was working on was looking to build out like a physiotherapy functionality to it too. So it was kind of just like definitely a stroke of luck of right time, right person. How do you get into a PM role? How do you get into a product role? I do want to reference my podcast because someone who can speak really well to this and who has is Rad Shabib. And so I would encourage you to listen to that episode. He breaks down the different approaches to getting into product management, where you can go directly, you can go in from like a clinical consultant perspective, or you can kind of go in for a different role and then like move laterally within that. He breaks it down wonderfully. I'm not going to attempt to replicate it right now because I think that's like all the resource you need. But I think it's just a matter of a lot of persistence, a bit of luck for sure, and then a lot of resourcefulness. That's going to be your first challenge. If you can be resourceful and land that product role, I think you're going to then have success with product too.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought up the podcast because that's what I was getting to next. But I'm definitely going to link to this episode so people can reference it and click on it and see what you're talking about. But before we get into the podcast, because that's next for me to talk to you about, what was your defining point when you were making this transition from physical therapist to product owner, product manager? What was your defining point?
I don't know if there really was one. I think it was a combination of many things just added together. And I think there was a few combinations. I felt like I couldn't problem solve creatively because you can only treat a total knee replacement so many ways before you start, you know. And I wanted to solve different problems. I wanted to be challenged in new ways. So I think that was kind of like the baseline. And then I had gone through, well, being a PT, you're on the provider side of things. I had like obliterated my left knee. I went to go play field hockey and thought I was reliving the glory days and was completely out of shape. And just obliterated my ACL. And it's kind of funny. I feel like that's backwards because everyone's like, I had the injury and then I had this great experience with my PT and I wanted to get into PT. For me, it was like the other way around. Like I was a PT and then I had this injury and really had to be the patient and navigate the healthcare system from the patient perspective. And even with an advanced degree in rehab sciences, it is a challenging, challenging system to know how to navigate it. And then to go back to like work and like beyond, there was many factors that I think that was maybe the last little push I needed to kind of, hey, what else can I do out here? How else can I leverage my skills? I want to help people. I want to make a bigger impact, which is what I set out to go into PT to do. Now I'm like ready to take on some bigger problems.
I love that because you said we're problem solvers. And earlier you said you did some deep introspective work. So now that makes total sense because you had this big life-altering injury. So that's cool. So I want to talk about your podcast because I do really, really, really like recommend people listen to the podcast. I refer people to the podcast all the time. And I'm not just saying that to juice you up. All the time, I tell people about your podcast because I think that people who like my podcast will also like your podcast. They're similar, but different. And amazing. So I want you to share first why you started the podcast and then what is the podcast about?
Yeah. Well, first off, thanks for the plug. I didn't pay Brandy to say any of that. But no, I appreciate that. And likewise, we're going to have the second half of this collab right here where I'm going to be interviewing you and I'm going to equally be plugging your podcast. So this will be good. So everyone listening, just go back and forth between episodes. It'll be good.
Absolutely.
So my podcast is called Beyond These Clinic Walls. And I'm joined with two wonderful co-hosts, Emily Kelly and Emma Brady, who are the founders of The Clinician Transition. And Emma would kill me if I didn't say, go check out their Slack. So make sure you follow their Slack and follow the group on LinkedIn. So this podcast came about because in my transition, I realized what was really helpful for me is hearing the stories of rehab professionals specifically who have moved in a non-traditional way and not necessarily just non-clinical, because I think, you know, I think Emma was the first to kind of define like how we talk about it as like non-traditional, where you can kind of have this fusion of what you typically think of a clinical practice, but putting your own spin on it. And so there's just like so many different opportunities out there. And in grad school, and from what we see, I feel like in our profession, it was like academia, clinic manager. What am I forgetting? There's like one other route for PT.
Like a specialist.
Like you could stick clinical and specialize. You go into academia. You can be like a clinic manager or move up kind of that way. And I was like, there's got to be more out there. I know people are doing this. I just didn't see it. And I wanted visibility to it. And I find the podcast medium is really nice because I like hearing the conversations. I feel like it's a level of like humanity and being part of a conversation and just like a nice way to hear how people have navigated their life. And it's just a nice way to kind of think digest that. And I wanted people to say, hey, that was an awesome journey that person went on. Maybe it's for me and maybe I'm going to pursue it, or maybe it's not for me and I can rule that out. Maybe it is kind of for me and I'm going to put my own spin on it. So that's why I did start the podcast, and I had approached Emma and Emily because I felt like they have been just really driving a great mission with the clinician transition. Just get the resources out there for people and really just kind of support and uplift that community. I think a big thing for me, I think anyone moving out of direct patient facing care, you have frustrations like with the profession, you have frustrations with the degree you got, but which I think is healthy. That's part of the process. You're like, I'm mad at this, but then like, okay, great. Like go make a change, like figure out the problems and make a difference. And so my goal is to kind of uplift the profession and promote it and just create more visibility for people who've taken these non-traditional career paths so that others can see those journeys and be inspired.
And let me say, I have been inspired, which is your podcast, Beyond These Clinic Walls. So for those people who don't know the name of the podcast, it is Beyond These Clinic Walls. And that was the inspiration for me to start this podcast. And I feel like you take a broad stroke, right? You look at all these therapists and all the different ways they can work non-traditionally, even outside of healthcare, right? Mm-hmm. And this podcast is specific to those making an impact in healthcare. And so I wanted to be able to share that. But then when I heard you sharing, Emily and Emma sharing on your podcast, I was like, that's it. That's the method. That is, it's the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the podcast is great. It's also nice because like, you can bring us with you. Like you might be driving in your car right now. Be safe, you know, like, but you could be in your car. You could be taking your dog for a walk. I don't know. It just felt like an intimate way of having a conversation, like a fireside chat. And it better than just a new form of kind of digesting content out there, which I don't know. It gets me excited when I hear other people talk and hear about what they've achieved and what they're doing. So I think that's just another way to kind of propel people forward.
So I was going to ask you, what is your favorite thing about podcasting? And would you say kind of like what you just said, talking to people and hearing their journeys is your favorite part, or is there something else that's your fave?
Yeah, it's a great question. I know what I hate about podcasting, and it's like editing. Oh my God, it takes so long. I now know how to like edit. When I've gotten all these fun skills from the podcast that on the surface, I didn't think I would even tap into. And now I'm great to have them in my back pocket. My favorite thing about the podcast, you know, I think actually for me, I think my favorite thing is that it gets me out of my comfort zone, because actually talking is not like I get really nervous when I have to host, and I will get nervous in like 10 minutes when we switch seats right now and turn it around. And I don't know why, because like maybe it's that extroverted introvert style, but it's not like a natural thing for me. I think I might have a perception that I have to talk in a certain way. Also, this might be related to kind of one of the reasons of like healthcare and being clinical. I felt like I had to be very like buttoned up and professional, and I couldn't have like that creative. If I said like or too much, it just didn't sound like convincing, you know? And so I think for me, I like getting out of my comfort zone and being forced to kind of have to be in a position where I'm talking and learning this new skill and having to really uncover you know, the person in front of me, and also just learn from really brilliant people. I think that's also like a huge part of it that I love.
I love the variety of guests that you have on, right? You have such a wide range. It's a very diverse guest list. And what I also like about your podcast, and I'm saying this out loud for the audience to know too, but each of your guests have this show and tell that they do.
Yeah.
That is their gift to your audience and to your listeners.
Exactly.
And what prompted that? What prompted you doing that piece of the podcast or adding that into yours?
Yeah, I think the value prop pretty much was I wanted people to listen to an episode and go, oh, that was great. But now what? I wanted people to walk away with an action step and something to say, oh, hey, if I loved it. And our show and tell segment is our last little segment of the episode. It's like the last 5 to 7 minutes, unless you're Dana Strauss, and then you give us a full lecture on health policy for an hour and a half, which I am still editing through, but I promise that that will be published soon for everyone out there. Dana Strauss,
I think she said that too. I talked to her.
Yeah.
She's going to be on my podcast too.
She's wonderful.
She was like, I don't think the other one is finished being edited yet.
Yeah. Well, Dana Strauss makes health policy sexy. Like she, like amazing. I got more from that episode recording than I have like ever. It's incredible. So I'm so excited to give that to our guests. But yes, the show and tell part is, I think, amazing. And I think it's just a great way where our guests can showcase something they're really proud of. And our audience members have an action item or something tangible that they can walk away with and be excited after getting hyped up after a podcast. Sometimes, like, I felt like listening to a podcast, it would end, and I'm like, oh, like, it's done. I'm not hanging out with these people anymore. So I feel like it's like a little extra breadcrumb that you could kind of take with you as you go. Actually, I will plug, because you had asked that question about, like, how to get into product, and Rad Shabib had done an article, like kind of like a white paper for his show and tell, and go check that out too, because it was super insightful. It's a great example of a show and tell, and it answers the question from before.
Yeah. So I'm going to link all this stuff in the podcast show notes. I'm going to link that episode that you were just talking about. I'm going to link the clinician transition.
Mm-hmm.
Hope Emily and Emma don't mind. We'll link to that.
I don't think they will.
I'll link to I'll call it the duet of this episode. So for those who are listening to this episode, there is another episode that you should tune into. Same week, just go on over to Beyond These Clinic Walls, where Jules interviews me. So if you want to hear the other side of this story, you've got to check out the other podcast. But I'll link to that in the show notes too. So people are going to have a lot of takeaways to hopefully get a lot out of these two episodes.
Yeah, love it.
All right. Any parting words for the audience?
I would say follow Brandy, follow her work. She's crushing it out there. And share with your friends. If it's something that you find super interesting and you know someone who would benefit from it, go ahead and share it. Do the same for our podcast too. Reach out if you have any questions and you want to connect. And just keep representing rehab professions in all the ways and expanses that we can reach.
Well, let me just say, this has been such a fun conversation. And I am literally having so much fun. So I hope everyone gets as much out of it as I have just sitting here talking to you. So thank you so much for joining me on this episode. I really appreciate it, Jules.
Of course. Now let's go record the reverse.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to hear the second part of this, where Jules interviews me, head on over to the Beyond These Clinic Walls podcast for the episode that airs April 7th, 2024. Enjoy.